Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm Sam Payne, your host. And today we have a feast for your senses and your funny bone, too. We're going to start with Ohio storyteller Lynn Ford with her story, Grandma Jo and the Holiday Pig, recorded live in the Appleseed Studio.
A lot of my stories incorporate food into them in some way because there were many wonderful, wonderful cooks in the family. At Thanksgiving time, I'm the place where everybody congregates for Thanksgiving dinner. If dinner's going to be at somebody else's house, people will ask, "Are you making the turkey? Are you bringing the dressing? Are you going to bake a cake?" And so might as well be at my house because I'm carrying everything to somebody else's house. My grandma Josephine was one of the best cooks that I've ever known. That was Pop Pop's wife. And she could take nothing and turn it into something. Always, always delicious. And she would get angry with my Pop Pops because he would go fishing. And he might catch catfish. She might go with him and she might catch catfish. But since she was going to do the cooking, he was supposed to do the cleaning. Now, to clean a catfish, you have to get that dorsal fin off the back. And you can do that with very sharp scissors or a sharp knife. And you have to kind of cut along the line of the head so that you can use something like pliers and pull back the skin. And then you have to fillet that fish and get rid of all the guts and other stuff somebody wouldn't want to eat. It's an absolutely disgusting job. And everything smells horrible. And I would sometimes try to help, but I couldn't stand the smell on my hands. And Grandma Jo would say, "Baby, you can't hold your head back and turn it to one side and still use a knife." So she taught me more about the frying of the catfish, because she didn't trust me to do the cleaning of the catfish. And Pop Pops was supposed to help her. But after he had done the fishing, he would say, "Well, baby, I'm leaving the kitchen to you, because nobody can do switching in the kitchen the way you do." And she'd say, "Buy it," because that was his name. "What about the cleaning?" He'd say, "Well, you can clean that fish better than I can." She'd say, "Well, I might clean the fish better than you do. But if you want me to cook this fish, you're going to help clean this fish." And my papa would say, well, "Baby, I can't do it right now. You see, my arthritis is acting up a little bit and my hands are kind of sore. So you do the cleaning and you do the cooking and I'll do the dishes." She said, "Buy it. You ain't never done dishes without breaking one. And I think you do it on purpose so I don't make you do it again." I heard all this and my pop-pops answered, "It's a possibility." And so my Grandma Jo would pray over him, but the prayer was a little bit different. She would ask for wisdom, for what to do about that man. She would ask for wisdom. "Give me wisdom. Just give me wisdom. Don't give me strength, because if you give me strength, I'm going to kill him. Give me wisdom." I loved being at my grandparents' house. You can see why. Well, one holiday season, Pop Pops got it in his head that they were going to have a pig roast. We'd never had a pig roast from the time I was born. At least I'd never been to one. And I didn't particularly care for pig anyway. But the older men in the family thought this was a wonderful idea. They were going to make a pit. They were going to get the good hard wood. They were going to get some good charcoal. They were going to fill that pit. They were going to get that fire going for about an hour until it was just right. And they were going to roast a whole pig over that fire pit. And I thought to myself, That's the worst plan I've ever heard in my life. And I'm not eating that. And my cousin Buster asked, are you eating that? I said, no, I'm not eating that. And my cousin Jerry asked, what you gonna eat? I said, I'm gonna sneak in the kitchen, get a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I'm not eating that. But we had to stand around the table when this roast was done. Because the men had, I don't know where they got them, but they had managed to find two huge platters. And they were going to bring the body of this roasted pig into the dining room. A great procession of older men carrying platters of roasted pig. And so all the children had to be there standing around the table. And they start bringing this thing in, and it looks like something dead that deserves a funeral. And it looks like they're carrying it to his funeral. This is not a procession for a meal. This is a death procession. And I'm not eating that. And they walked it in, and I'm looking at this thing, and Grandma Jo had helped with the roasting because she was such a good cook. But she was looking at all her grandbabies and some great grandbabies, and she looked so sad for all of us. Every one of the elders applauded. All the older people cheered, and my pop-up said, that's not all, wait. And we hadn't thought about the fact that this body had no head. Oh. Another platter was brought in, smaller than the first, and on that platter was the head of the pig. His eyes were closed. He knew he was dead. His mouth was open, and some torturous person had shoved an apple into his poor dead mouth. And elders clapped and people cheered, and all the little cousins, we looked at one another and we cried. And we cried. And I said, I'm definitely not eating that. And I opened my eyes to see my mother glaring at me with angry mama eyeballs. And I said to my mother, beat me. Kill me. I'm not eating that. And then we heard Grandma Jo's gentle voice coming from the kitchen door. Come on, children. Let's all get out of the grown folks' way so there's more room at the table for them. I have the kitchen table and the card table set up for you. And the ones who can't fit there, I got trays set up in the living room. Just come on, children. Let's let all the big people enjoy this wonderful meal. And so we all walked away. Did you see that poor pig? I saw that poor pig. Mama, mama, mama. This was the youngest of the cousins who could talk, looking back at his mama. Did they kill Porky Pig? Poor Porky Pig! What if it was one of the pigs from the Three Little Pigs? Well, that's all right. The wolf was going to eat them anyway, but they shouldn't kill Porky Pig! We got in the kitchen, and the tables were set for us, like we were big people. And the card table was set for those who needed to sit there, like they were big people. And the trays in the living room, we peeked in there, and Grandma Jo had put a cloth napkin on every tray. And they were already set with knives, forks, and spoons, and another paper napkin. And in the middle of the kitchen table was our part of that wonderful feast. Grandma Jo, wiser than wise, had made pork chops and fried chicken for all the little cousins. Food was a big thing in my family. We might not have had much, but what we had was shared with everyone. And if you didn't have family, you could come to any house in my family and get something to eat. But to this very day, all the cousins who are still alive talk about the time our grandfather decided to bring a dead pig into the dining room with its head removed and tortured that poor thing with an apple. And a lot of my cousins became vegetarians. And now you know why. That's the end of my story.
Lynn Ford with Grandma Joe and the Holiday Pig. You know, listening to this story makes me think of the way that food has always been an important marker of the connection I share with some of the people who are most important to me. I'm thinking right now of my Uncle Mike, my mom's little brother, a musician, Uncle Mike. I remember sitting in my grandparents' living room as Mike practiced great rock and roll songs for gigs in the Bay Area where they lived. And I remember him playing music for my grandmother to comfort her in moments of confusion brought on by the dementia that she experienced during the last years of her life. And I treasured his nickname for me. He called me Samwise. It's the only nickname anyone ever gave me, and he's the only one that used it. My Uncle Mike moved to the Pacific Northwest years and years ago, and I haven't seen him very often since then. But every year, no matter where I've lived, in the mail around Christmas time would be a flat, square box containing a Christmas Kringle, a sweet Scandinavian pastry shaped like a wreath, a nod to our Finn-Swede heritage on my grandma's side of the family, sent to us from far away by Uncle Mike and Aunt Candy. Every year, my family would cut into that sweet treat with thoughts of far-off family at the front of our minds and on the tip of our tongues. Now, in the summer of this year, my Uncle Mike passed away suddenly. I was actually at lunch with a group of friends from my BYU radio family when I got the call, an unexpected heart attack. And I was glad to be surrounded by people I care about when that news came, even glad to be eating food together, good food at a favorite restaurant that can now serve as a marker of that important memory when I go back there. And when Christmas rolls around, I will mark the time and the memory of my dear Uncle Mike with a Kringle, because food is a key to unlocking memories that I will savor forever. And that's where Lynn's story took me. Where did the story take you, and who will you take along?
It'll have us all climbing that family tree when we share together the apple seed.
Hi, Sam here. I just want to tell you about another podcast from BYU Radio. It's one you should really check out. It's called Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us. And you can listen to it or watch it. It's an audio and video podcast. Now, on Uncomfy, you'll hear stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down or backing off, they stuck with the discomfort. And sometimes that's getting tough feedback from a close friend. Sometimes that's hearing out a colleague from another side of the aisle politically, but in every case, they chose to stay open and curious in those tough moments, and they're glad they did. New episodes of Uncomfy drop every Wednesday. You can listen or watch on the BYU Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us. Check it out.
So if you're hungry for stories, come and feed from the fruit of the tree of the apple seed.
It's a pleasure to be with you on the apple seed today. We're bringing you a feast of stories in this episode. And here, Bill Harley brings us another course with yeast rolls, a story you're going to love. It's an apple seed favorite, and we recorded it right here in the apple seed studio. Here's Bill.
Thank you. So, Thanksgiving was coming, and that was good because that meant my grandmother was coming, and that meant she was bringing yeast rolls. Oh, do you know what yeast rolls are? Oh, first, yeast rolls are the smell. I mean, you know about yeast drills before you see them, but before they go in the oven, before they come out of the oven, before they're served, because the smell of fresh bread. And yeast rolls, they're warm. They're warm when they come out of the oven. They're warm when they go in the basket. They're warm when you hold them in your hand. And you're warm when you put them in your mouth and when they go down your throat. And they're warm, which is the reason why they melt the butter. And at first, the butter is this little hard yellow square, this pale yellow square, but then you open up the yeast roll and it's warm and you put the butter in and you close a roll around it, and at first you cannot see the butter, but the butter is in there. And then the roll heats up the butter and the butter begins to melt, and the butter melts into the roll and the roll melts the butter, and then it slips out the side and now suddenly it's golden yellow, and the roll melts the butter and the butter and the roll and the roll and the butter and the butter and the roll, and they're together, and then you put them in your mouth. And your mouth is happy, and your throat is happy, and your stomach is happy. And Thanksgiving was coming, and my grandmother was coming, and the yeast rolls, and the turkey was great, and the stuffing was great, and the mashed potatoes were great, and even the green beans were great, and the gravy was great, but not to succotash, because it had lima beans in it. They were all great, but you know, like the rolls actually, the butter and the roll, like the roll, see, is a butter delivery system. So they were better. They weren't even better. They were the best. So one Thanksgiving when I was 6 or maybe 7 or 8, maybe 9, maybe 10, but not 11, definitely not 12, but definitely not 13 or 14, my grandmother came and she brought the rolls, but they weren't even rolls yet. They were just little dough balls in a Pyrex dish. And the oven was heated up and everybody had gotten there, and she put them in the oven when almost everything was ready, when the turkey was almost ready and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the green beans and the succotash with the lima beans. And I was in the kitchen and my grandmother went back into the living room where the grown-ups were talking blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon the smell of those rolls began to fill up the kitchen and began to fill up the dining room, began to fill up the living room, the smell of bread. And the grown-ups were still talking blah, 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 blah. And finally my grandmother came back into the kitchen. She opened up the oven and the smell of the yeast rolls just exploded. And she took them out. And then she took them out of the dish and she put them in a little basket and she folded the napkin over it. And then she went back into the living room where the grown-ups were still talking blah, 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 blah. And the rolls were sitting there in the basket with the napkin over them waiting to do their job. And the grown-ups were still talking blah, 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 blah. And so I thought, why not just have one? So very carefully, I pulled back the napkin. I took one out. I closed the napkin over, and I found where the butter was, and I opened up the kitchen drawer, and I took out a knife, the everyday knife, not the silverware that was only used 4 times a year for Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's and Easter or something. Maybe there was just 3 days. I don't know. Anyway, it was never used. Just the everyday knife. And I took the butter, and I put it in the roll, and I folded the roll over it, and I couldn't see the butter, but the roll was warm. And then I saw the butter sneak out the side. The roll was warm. The butter melted. I don't know. Oh, and my mouth was happy, and my throat was happy, and my stomach was happy, and I was as happy as could be, and the grown-ups were still talking, blah, 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 blah. And there were the rolls waiting to be used. This was their moment, because yeast rolls are about the present. They are about the moment. And I thought to myself, why not be happier? So I pulled back the napkin, and I took another one, and I took the butter, and I put it in, and I melted, and I put it in my mouth. My mouth was happy, and my throat was happy, and my stomach was happy, and the grown-ups were still talking, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, is it possible to be happier? And I said, why not find out? And so then I had another one, and another one, and another one, and ever since this day, I have never been so happy. So many yeast rolls. And then I heard my mother said, it's time to eat. And so I folded the napkin back over the basket, and it looked absolutely perfect. And all the food was brought out to the table. We sat and we gave thanks. And I gave special thanks because I was so happy about what had just happened to me. And then I watched as the plates came around the table, all the grown-ups distributing the food, my father putting the turkey on the plate, and then the next adult putting on the mashed potatoes, next putting on the stuffing, and then on the gravy, then they put the green beans. I said, no! And they put on the succotash with the lima beans, and the plate came around, and it was placed in front of me, and I looked down at it, and my stomach said, I don't want that. And I said, it is for you. And it said, no, I've had enough. And it began, I could tell it was saying that because it began to do somersaults and jumping jacks. And then the stomach suggested that perhaps I should give some of the rolls back. And I said, no, these are yours. These are yours. You have to keep them. And it said, no, give some to the other people. And I said, no, no, they are yours. And my stomach calmed down. And the meal began, and everything was fine until one of my dumb brothers reached for the basket and pulled back the napkin, and he said, where are all the yeast rolls? And my grandmother said, I put them in there. And then my other dumb brother said, where are the yeast rolls? And they opened up the napkin, and there was two left. And my mom said, where are the yeast rolls? And my father said, where are the yeast rolls? And my grandfather said, where are the yeast rolls? And they looked at me, and they knew where the yeast rolls had gone. And they stood up as one, and they said, you ate all the yeast rolls, except for perhaps my grandmother. My grandmother did not yell at me because she knew I loved her because I had eaten 14 of her yeast rolls. And there was nothing for me to do but get up from the table and go into my room and lie on my bed and talk my stomach into keeping everything I had given it. And that was the end of Thanksgiving dinner for me, except for at the very end, I came back out and there was pie. And it was pecan pie. And I had one piece of pecan pie. And it seemed to me as a child that that might have been the perfect Thanksgiving dinner. 14 yeast rolls and a piece of pecan pie. And I learned lessons from that. I did. The first lesson is one I learned that I practice with my own children, which is the parents should watch their children more carefully because they will eat as much as they can because it is their job. And the second one is that, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 rolls, yeast rolls are enough, or maybe 8 or maybe 9 or maybe 10, but not 11 or not 12, not 13, and definitely not 14. But I will tell you, there are some lessons you have to learn for yourself. That was Bill Harley with his story, Yeast Rolls. Are there foods that at a family gathering you really look forward to seeing on the table? Are there any foods you dread seeing on the table? Is there a favorite food for you that reminds you of someone you love? I bet there are some good stories there. We hope you'll share them and more around your dinner table at family gatherings.
We want to thank Lynn Ford and Bill Harley for sharing their food tales with us. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. Our audio engineer is DJ Cromarty, and the rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. And if you like today's podcast, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review, and tell your friends. That's how the podcast grows. We also love to receive emails. Email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. Your thoughts and comments help us shape the future of the Appleseed. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed. It's great to have you with us, and I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and in this podcast, Stephen Cap Perry, the host, in each episode talks with a different person about that person's faith tradition. These guests talk about their relationship with the divine that will strengthen your faith, and Steve is a great listener. It's a podcast that helps you celebrate the power of faith and belief, a podcast on which you hear stories and accounts from believers of all kinds, told in their own words. You can listen to In Good Faith wherever you hear our show. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of places to listen to In Good Faith on demand.